Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden here. Welcome to the show, The Truth Straight Up.
Our show is goes through California, where the power grid is down. So we'll with our expert crew, work through it all. This is the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you in part by AmericasCitizenPress.com and Dr. Julie McCallan and the folks at Cenogenics, who, as Chuck says, are keeping him alive. Hey, stuff to talk about today. Good news. A grassroots victory, at least the beginnings of a grassroots victory. We're going to have Boulder County's Peg Cage on here in a second. And also at the bottom of the hour, John Conlon, a columnist, we've had him on before, has a column up on AM Greatness. And we'll talk about it. Parts of it I agree with. Parts of it, it's like it's too late. And
parts of it is, I absolutely agree with, but does he have any idea who he's dealing with on the other side?
That's right. And so, and as always, you can call in 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. And I want to remind you, too, you can catch all of our shows live, as I say, or later at chuckandjulie.com. Well, let's go ahead. And I see Peg is already here in the Zoom waiting room. Peg, if you want to go ahead and unmute yourself and bring your camera up. And once again, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you guys today?
We're good. We're good. So I'll let you and Chuck kind of explain it, because you guys are the masterminds of this.
No. She was the mastermind.
Peg's the mastermind. I was the minion, and Chuck was the
enabler.
The enabler. But to kind of give a little bit of background, so the Colorado Republican Party is getting ready to elect essentially the chairperson of the Republican Party. Folks who've listened to our show have heard us talk about that. It's a crucial election because, you know, Colorado Republicans haven't won statewide. We have like one statewide office. So the establishment Republicans and the consultant crew have basically, you know, taking control of the party and are destroying it. And one of the things they wanted to do was use, as the Democrats have been doing, use the excuse of COVID to not have an in-person meeting on March 27th to hold the vote. And Peg Head said, you were the one, we had you on a little while ago with your petition to hold the in-person meeting. So why don't you tell us about why you think that was so important and then what's happening now?
Well, you can't fight against the numbers, and we had a lot of people saying they're behind us and wanting to have this in person. I think we had 155. I'll pull it up as we're. It's the results are on my website, mycoloradogop.org, or just pegcage.com, and I've been trying to keep up with the responses. Out of 158 respondents, we had 155 who think it's very important to meet in person. You know, the Zoom meetings are nice, but all you get to see is what's happening on the stage. You don't get to see you don't have those conversations sitting in the seat. You don't talk to the person next to you, and you can't talk to.
And it's easy for other people who are running the meeting to simply dominate it and control it. And you're helpless because you're just sitting, you're one person by your phone.
Right.
It's a way of control.
Right. And they always have the two microphones set up in the room. So if they have an issue come up and somebody gets to the microphone, you can see whether it's one person that has an opinion. You can't see that on a Zoom call unless you see the hand waving. But if you see 20 and 30 people at each microphone, you know this is a hot button issue.
Right.
And you can't sweep that under the rug in person. Whereas online, the people online would have no idea. So it's very important for this kind of a meeting to be in person. This is what the whole bylaws and the whole organization is, one meeting after another. the even years, we meet in the caucuses and we decide who's going to be on the ballot and we run the elections. And the odd years, we decide who's going to be running the party and we make those internal elections then. So this was very important to me to meet in person and have that meeting. And the state, the emergency bylaws for the party reference the governor's mandates. And according to the governor's mandates, any critical government function, which this meeting is, has no capacity limitations. So we are not under that. We're supposed to follow the social distancing and the masking as much as they can force us to do that. But we don't fall under that. So there's really no reason for us to do that.
Well, and one thing too I want to point out is, we are, after all, the Republican Party. It's been a year since Jared Polis has turned himself into a tyrannical dictator of Colorado, issuing executive order after executive order. You can go to a pot store. You can go to a liquor store. You can go to a restaurant. You can go all kinds of places. You can go to Target. I was at Burlington Coat Factory earlier today getting some athletic clothes for my son, right? Place was full with people out there living their lives. It is ridiculous that the Colorado Republican Party, I think, and not, maybe you guys can't say this, but I can, for their own power play establishment reasons, are like, oh no, we must be safe. And it's all a bunch of nonsense. We know it's a bunch of nonsense. And why on earth were we going to be willing to say, oh, okay, we'll do exactly what Jared Polis wants us to do. So I'm so excited, Peg, that you challenged this.
I did. You can't be leaders following these illegal mandates.
No. And so then what happened? So basically you got, there was no chance. I mean, initially we were like, it's a nice effort, Peg. Thank you for fighting the good fight. But lo and behold, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, even in a Zoom meeting.
Amen. The GOP hosted their executive committee meeting on Monday night, and I had sent out the night before the results of the survey, the reminder that we're not under these capacity limitations. There's no reason. It's time for us to lead. And a link to all the other articles on the website that are just trying to prove that we're supposed to be leading. And I don't know if that made any difference or not. Chuck said he didn't see it, but Chuck went in there, my hero. And He's a new member on the executive committee, and there are some other newer members. And I got to watch that online. Julie, it was a beautiful dance. It was just like a dance. It was just like, okay, come this way a little bit. Okay, now you go back this way a little bit. And by the time they were done, we had the discussion was opened and the motion was on the floor that we needed to decide if we could have this in person or not. And they went into executive committee, Chuck, the secret room. The secret Zoom room, and kick the rest of us peons off. And you know the rest of the story, Chuck. I don't. I just heard that it was a wonderful thing.
It was a wonderful thing, and we won against overwhelming odds. But, the forces of evil are never rest. We have 72 hours to find a place. Mm-hmm. I've got a place I think might work. I think we'll be slow walked. I think they're planning not to do it. That's my guess. They're planning. They'll make a half-hearted effort. You go, 72 hours are up. It's up. Isn't that too bad?
Don't I get anything? Well, then let me explain.
So, I've been told that everything still has to go through Chairman Buck. I said, what's Chairman Buck have to do with anything? Either make it work or don't make it work. Mm-hmm. And if Chairman Buck is going to crook another election, then why did he let us know?
Well, so, and again, to kind of clarify for folks who haven't followed, so the Republican Party, and there's about 500 people who can vote on this.
Yeah, about 500.
Which just goes goes back to why Anil Mathai always says that local, 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 you need to get involved in your precincts. That's what Chuck did. And all of a sudden now he's voting on big issues there. Right. And they voted against all odds. They convinced people, you know, we do need to meet in person. Why are we not meeting in person? Why are we letting Governor Polis tell us what we can or can't do as Republican, as a Republican Party? But the, so they voted, and that was great news. And, but what the concern is now, because as Chuck says, the forces of evil never rest, you'd think with that, because Chuck was able to say, because I've had been listening to his phone conversations, he's like, look, I got a place. He found a great place in Weld County, and he's been making phone calls. And you know, the Republican Party establishment said, you got 72 hours. Well, it's been, what, 24 now, 48? And they haven't called the people yet.
Well,
it's
like, I just got told they called him, left a message an hour ago.
So, oh, goody.
Yeah.
You got that information to them yesterday.
Here's the thing. You guys maybe can't comment on this because you're, you know, people involved in the voting and stuff like that. But as a Republican, a registered Republican, I'm telling you, darn Republican Party leaders, make this happen. The people have made it clear that they want it to be in person. We want it to be in person. Your survey overwhelmingly. So don't you dare slow walk this and say to the people, oh, we just couldn't pull it off. Ken Buck, you can pull off all kinds of stuff if you, there's nothing to pull off.
I mean, I would
this
say.
This is not, you know, we're not planning a royal wedding here.
Well,
right?
I can tell you that we talked about you sending out an email, which I wasn't sure about. Send it out if you haven't.
Okay.
Send it out.
And tell people, call the Colorado Republican Party
call
and say,
Ken Buck, say, don't tell us, you know.
Don't tell us that we couldn't do it because we forgot to call the people. I mean, what is that saying? Do your damn job. Okay, you're the chairman of the Colorado Republican Party. Do your damn job. The people said they want to have the meeting in person. It better not come down to you saying, oh, we just ran.
Yes,
what's the 72 hours anyway? You just made that up. What I mean, you know, at 73 hours, like, oh, darn, I guess they didn't call me back in time. Give me a break. Make it happen. Get it done. There will be plenty of provisions, if I'm right, guys, for people who don't feel comfortable going and they want. They can do Zoom if they want.
It's a hybrid meeting.
If Ken Buck can't get it done, he can come in on Zoom, right? But for the rest of you guys who want to be there in person, this is an important time for the Colorado Republican Party, and they better darn well better not screw the grassroots over.
Oh, they will.
I'm a little riled about this.
Yeah, I can tell, but you have a right to be. Go ahead, Chuck. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying it's not going to just happen. I can tell now.
No, and nothing good ever does, but with just the survey and these people taking the time to fill the survey and us being persistent. I had Nancy Pelosi come alongside of me. That woman is awesome. She called up and she said, what you are doing is right. I want to help. And she did.
Right.
She's been very helpful. And the two of us were able to get this meeting with Alex and Shauna and tell them that, you know, this is what the people want to do. By the time we were done, I was saying, you know, we could be heroes here. I want to make you guys look like heroes. I want the GOP to look like they have a spine and to offer people Republican government again.
Right.
And honesty in their elections so that we don't start out another season and another chairman doubting that chairman was elected.
Right. Well, and it goes back to, like you said, have a spine and show some leadership. You know, we've got Douglas County is saying, hey, look, you know, we're going to reopen. And no, we can't maybe undo Polis's order, but we're not going to enforce it. And we all need to start like that. Restaurants can now be open to 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, things are opening up. A lot of kids are back in school. Where people who need to take precautions are taking precautions. The vaccine is out
there. Well, they've
been
doing that for a year, hiding in their homes, in their basements.
And the Republicans, we need to be saying to people, hey, we're the party of putting people back to business. We're the party of saying, hey, you know what? You can go to your cousin's wedding, you can go to your cousin's funeral, you can visit your elderly parents in nursing homes, and
you can travel to Wyoming and be in a free state.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, you can do right. all of these things. And we show it, first of all, by doing exactly, Peg, what you and Chuck and all of you guys organized.
By the way, Julie, thanks for letting me take the lead.
I'm sorry. I just got riled up because it's like, this is bigger than just a meeting. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
People that no one really understands what's going on. This is huge to send a message to the Republican, to the people of Colorado that says, we're Republicans and we trust you to keep yourself safe. We trust you to make your own health decisions.
Right.
And we're going to reopen things and we're going to start by having our own meeting in person for everyone who feels comfortable and safe to be there.
Right. And we understand that the elections were questionable. And we are going to make sure that we prove that elections can be conducted with integrity. So this could be a win-win for the party, but they already had their mind made up and they said, well, no, it just can't be done. And that during that beautiful dance thing, they said, well, what needs to be done to facilitate this? And they laid out what needed to be done. And they say, okay, well, this has been done, this has been done, this has been done, and we've got volunteers for this. So what's your next excuse?
Right. Well, because it's not like you haven't had these meetings before. Like I said, you're not planning a royal wedding, right?
No.
I mean, they're not a whole lot of, I mean, they're details. Events like this are always details, but they do it every year. So
right.
It's not like they don't know.
Well, it's you know, the crowd is the size of a small town basketball game. Okay, I figure this out. Way too complicated for our technical capacities.
Yeah, you don't need to put up new cell phone towers or something like that.
No.
Peg, what were some of the reasons? I want to go back to, because it's just so important that we
as
do.
I lead the way.
I'll be quiet now. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
just
it's well, over and Julie will be
you have to be
chatting
kind of,
away.
You have to be kind
well,
of
let me jump right in there and tell you.
all right. I just know you have to be circumspect and I don't have to be. Normally it's the other way around.
Got to get her off the cocaine.
So the reason that I wanted to do this, because there is such a rift in the GOP. We've got those who will willingly kowtow to Jared Polis and give the Democrats everything they want. And their big talking point is, we reach across the aisles. Well, honey, I don't want you reaching across the aisles. I want you representing the Republican platform.
Right.
I am not in love with the Republican Party the way it stands in Colorado, but I love the Republican Party platform and what it stands for. And what we are supposed to be doing is offering and ensuring the people of Colorado a Republican form of government, which is guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution, by the way, which we haven't had for a while here because we can't get Republicans elected. And I live in Boulder County. I understand people not wanting to stand up and run for office. I understand people not wanting to have an R behind their name anyplace public because there have been people fired for being Republican.
Right.
And as long as we sit down and shut up and we don't do anything, we'll be rolled over. But we just proved that if we stand up for what's right, you know, God loves honest scales. Let's have some honest scales here. Let's do what's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, Julie, keep on.
No, I'm reining it in right now.
You're reining
like
it
this.
In. Okay.
You can't see my feet are juggling, but go ahead. You can go ahead.
How nice of you.
So it's really important to get the right chairman also for the GOP, because they have a lot of appointments for the executive committee.
No, it's, the way the party system works, which is why the Soviet Union adopted it. There's a mid 19th century platelet for how to organize political parties. And the Soviet Union organized the Communist Party on that thing. And they said, hey, we'll just use that for the government. We have no opposition. So there's a huge power put in the chairman. The chairman has enormous power. The vice chairman's total power is to do whatever the chairman tells him to do. So that's
right.
Their duties. So having the right chairman is critical. It's absolutely critical.
Absolutely.
And we've got.
They have to, this year, the main thing is election integrity. If we don't have a chairman that is going to fight for election integrity, then we are done. And the whole United States is done if people don't realize, you know, I've got a quote that was attributed to Stalin. It doesn't matter who voted. It's enough that the people know there was an election, and it doesn't matter.
He said it doesn't matter who votes. It's who counts the votes.
Counts the vote.
And the Democrats are counting the votes in Atlanta, in Philadelphia, in Minnesota.
Colorado. We're
Colorado.
And here's a quick example of why it matters, among other things. So that in Colorado, the citizens have voted repeatedly and made their voices heard repeatedly, that in Colorado, there was a lot of support for the Second Amendment. But the Democrats, I mean, the last time the Democrats took a shot at the Second Amendment, some of them were recalled, right? That's how strongly people feel about it. Well, they don't care. The safe storage bill, the guns that would, I don't know how they're going to prove that, but you could be charged with a crime if you don't store your gun by what the Democrats consider safe. They're turning victims into criminals now. If you have 5 days to report your gun stolen, and if you don't, you can be criminally charged. Those bills are speeding their way through the legislature. You're going to be on the governor's desk any day.
And all of them will have Republican support.
Well, no, actually, so far they haven't. So far it's been
that one hasn't.
It's been party line. But here's where a chairperson and Republican Party could be putting that information out and saying, hey, you know what? And I would be doing something like it's day 365 of dictator polis. I mean, you could do so much stuff to get word out about what the Republicans are doing to fight for rights and what the Democrats are doing. Because I think the Democrats are feeling pretty arrogant these days, and they just don't care what voters want. And we need a strong spokesperson who can say and get the message out and isn't afraid to do that. And
you get to say something too, Peg, but just be honest. You get, in addition to Julie, you and I get to say something.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I don't know what there's left to say.
See you. There you go.
There you go. All right. Well, that's it. We've heard from Julie. And,
you guys remember 2013 when all these bills were being passed?
Yes.
All of the Democrats got control of the House and the Senate and the governor, and they were pushing through all these gun laws. That one day, all the sheriffs showed up and they said, "Don't do this. Don't do this." Don and I got there early. My husband and I got there early and sat in the Senate chambers. And we were able to listen to what was going on all day long. And all day long, from first thing in the morning until late in the evening, we were being circled by people in their cars, just honking and honking and honking. And that honking rung in my ears for days afterwards because it was so intense. It was the most wonderful thing. But of course, they didn't listen. They didn't do what we wanted them to. They have no intention of doing it now. That same year, they passed through all the election fraud bills and took the will of the people in 2002 or whatever it was absolutely not. We do not want to go to mail-in ballots. And then they started this, the mail-in ballots you could sign up for. You didn't have to be sick. You didn't have to be away. You could
Right.
Yeah. And then they said, sign up and get your permanent email ballot. Every year you will have it mailed to you. You won't have to remember to ask.
Right.
And then they said, we've got so many people signed up for the permanent email, the permanent mail ballot. Let's just send it to everybody.
Right.
So they're
very good at just slicing that sausage. They just take more and more until there's nothing left. And we need somebody to stand up to Polis. I mean, I don't, you know, I like Ken Buck, but I don't see him standing up to Polis. And I don't see anybody else standing up to Polis.
Not right now. But Chuck, don't you think the grassroots is really engaged right now? We have been slapped in the face. And we are serving under a doubtfully elected president who is hiding behind barbed wire and the military. And the people see what's happening. So I think we're stepping up. And we got a couple of, just took three people on the executive committee to finally stand up and say, hey, let's do what's right for a change. And it happened.
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
It will. Yeah, it will. We'll keep working on it.
All right. Well, great to have you on, Peg, and we'll fight for the 27th.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Peg Cage, thank you very much. Yeah, well, obviously, we'll keep people informed about this because it's important. It would be such a shame for all of you guys to do your job and do the right thing. And then for whatever reason, the establishment, I don't know what you would call them, the staff at the Colorado Republican Party, and Ken Buck, I mean, if he were to tell them get it done, they'd be getting it done,
right?
You know,
right.
So he needs to tell them get it done. And if he's saying slow walker, Sandra's saying I like her.
That's her, right. Her website is pegcage.com is the easiest one.
Right, pegcage.com. So they need to get it done. And there's no reason. I know there are plenty of people. You found a place that's potential. There are other people, Randy Corcoran, a lot of people working on places. And there are places in Colorado where they could do it. Like you said, it's like a small high school basketball game.
That's the crowd is. I had bigger crowds than this in prep school, a little prep school. They managed to handle it.
Right.
But they have no intention of doing that. Well, they intend to semi-try is what they intend.
Well, again, I think that 72-hour deadline was completely made up.
Well, but now it's they've slow walked 48 of it. So.
Well, all right. We need to keep the pressure on, guys, and trust me, we will. Chuck has been on the phone. He's learned to text. You've become Mr. Wonderful, Mr. Busy. I mean, you're all of a sudden, it's like, it's a good thing you're retired, so to speak. So.
Where am I retired from?
Yeah, exactly. The other radio job. Peg is my Colorado.
They fired us, Julie. We're not retired. We were fired.
My
if that's a retirement, then I guess I'm retired.
My ColoradoGOP.org or pegcage.com is a website to go to. We've got John Conlon coming up in a few minutes. Did you want to talk about the five senators that were?
Well, you know, we have all these retirements by Republicans, many of them part of Mitch McConnell's inner circle. Roy Blunt, Pat Toomey, Portman, can't remember all
five
the
and all,
ones.
Right? Yeah,
Shelby. I think it's one, it hurts the chances of Republicans taking back the Senate because now you have five more places where you had incumbents and now you won't, which may be part of the purpose just to make sure the GOP establishment loves the Democrats. But it's also a huge chance for Trumpian candidates to run, for Trump to pick out one and do a better job than some other people, and make sure that the people are, in fact, with the American First agenda. And really have a Senate that isn't just a bunch of, I'd love to reach across the aisle and put my hand up the skirt. Yeah, that's great. That's great. You're so helpful.
Well, the Senate, as you said, Mitch McConnell likes it when he doesn't actually have to do anything, right? Because
he can
kind of argue out of both sides. Well, it's interesting. We were talking this morning, Chuck, about why they're not running again. And I don't know, it could be a number of things. I'm suspicious. I think that maybe they see, for their own personal swamp reasons, that this is a good time to get out. I also think Trump is making it clear that, you know, he's sending cease and desist orders to Rhino Republicans who are using his name.
Right,
now,
yeah.
You know, they're kind of freaking out about that. But Trump, what
good
he's doing
them.
Is he's using the platform
them.
And the strong messaging that he does have to say, hey, look, don't donate. You know, unless it's to Save America or, you know, DonaldJTrump.com, go there. Same thing, go to PegCage.com, go to Patrick Neville's website. There are certain places to go, not other places. And I think Trump can do that. And, it's powerful. And so maybe if you're Mitch McConnell, you see your power. I don't know. My hope is that that's why he's getting out.
I agree.
But you never know.
All right. We have with us now John Conlon. He's a wonderful author, writes for a lot of different publications, Julie.
Mm-hmm. American AM Greatness is what his latest column was up on. I tweeted it out and put it on Facebook earlier if you didn't see it. But John, hey, welcome to the show. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Oh, hey, Chuck and Julie. Thanks for having me.
Well, why don't you tell everybody about your column and what caused you to write it?
Well, in business consulting, you often talk or do something about, it's called strategic planning. So you just kind of look out there on the horizon and, you know, what kind of environment do we have? What's happening? And if you do that for the country, which is how I started it, it's like alcohol sales are through the roof, which is amazing because most bars are not open right now. So, you know, marijuana sales through the roof, opioid deaths through the roof. One would have to guess that sales of, you know, all illicit drugs are through the roof. Guns and ammo sales are setting records.
That's for sure.
Mental health across the board is at an all-time low. Suicides are at an all-time high. Children's health, mental health is terrible. Trust in governmental institutions is in the cellar with, you know, the government at the very bottom. And my whole point was, now is not the time for bold partisan action of any sort, not if you love the country. Now is the time for healing. Now is the time to go slow. You know, if you look at all the evidence, it's like having a very, very sick child and say, okay, let's go skiing or something. It's like, no, let's look at the evidence. The evidence is the country is ill, and we need to probably put the clutch in on a lot of things and let things settle down a little bit.
Have you ever met a Democrat?
Yeah.
Well, and you throw in, you know, one more factor, that a large portion of the population doesn't believe the last election. I'll put myself in that category. So no, I understood that, you know, I'm not quite that naive that I think the Democrats are going to do it, but I think
they're going to do exactly the opposite. They are going to push, and they have.
Well, they already have.
The COVID bill is a Democratic relief bill. Didn't contain one Republican vote, and it's amazing.
1.9 trillion.
We could get nothing through Congress when we had the House, the Senate, and Trump president, because he kept on telling us the filibuster prevents it. Except when the Democrats have it, they find ways to get it totally around the filibuster. And so the bills have zero Republican input and 100% Democrat. And it's just paying everybody off. You know, if you're a black farmer, you get tripled. White farmer, you get dispossessed. I mean, it's an obscene bill. And that's just the beginning. H.R. 1, they're one to crook the election so we don't have a democracy anymore. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. It's time for healing, except you've got an open wound. They're going to start pouring salt on all over it.
Which, are you there? Hey, okay. So Thomas, I think something, whoop, are you there? Are you there, John? Hey, Thomas, if you can hear me, I know. Hello?
Yeah, right. I'm still here.
Oh, okay, good. Okay. They had some kind of weird reverb there.
The Dems were coming
in. The Democrats. You know, in a way, though, you raise some good points in there about the state of the country. And yet, you know, this should tell people, looking at this radical progressive agenda that's been pushed through in the past, month and a half, the complete open borders now, the complete control by big tech. They're talking even in Colorado about having a ministry of truth. I'm like, you're kidding me, right?
For social media.
And all of these things going on, you could tell the Democrats could care less about the country's health. They don't care at all.
Well, the worse it is, the better.
I mean, Governor Cuomo killed 10,000 people, and nobody cares about that.
Of course, he flirted while old, which is a capital crime in the United States now. But the fact he killed 15,000 old people is considered just, you know, worthless mouths.
So I think it's clear the Democrats don't care. So what would you...
So now the Democrats are going to not only not do what you think, but do exactly the opposite. What do we do?
That's not surprising to any of us, but I think maybe the dumbass Republicans need to be thinking of what I just described, is let's present it differently. There, you know, the people that you can't convince of anything, there's no reason trying to waste your time talking to those people. But there are a lot of people who love the country who, you know, can look at that and say, you know, the future or the country seems to be tearing. Now is not the time to do these things. Therefore, if you do these things, as you rightly described, Chuck and Julie, very, very clearly, then that clearly means they don't give a damn about the country.
Everybody knows that. Everybody's figured that one out.
No, some of the unaffiliated voters have not. I mean, I think.
No, they haven't. Everybody's figured it out. They want power and nothing but power. And they will shove it down and they will rig the votes. They planned that H.R. 1 as a way of rigging every vote. And they're like Stalin. I mean, Stalin kind of goes, oh, did I overreach? Did I kill all those kulaks? Oh, I'm sorry. I killed the kulaks and about a million other people. But oh, what are you going to do about it? And the answer is nothing. And what are Republicans going to do about it? Absolutely nothing.
Well, I hope that they can at least raise their voices, and if not them, the citizens of the country. Because I also mentioned in the article that I think one of the problems is somehow in the last 100 years, it probably started in FDR time, but maybe before that, we've gone from the government representing the people to the government leading the people. I never agreed for the government to lead the people. The government, the entity of government, being it state, federal, local, shouldn't have an opinion. You know, elected officials, yeah, they can have an opinion, but the entity of government shouldn't have an opinion. And I think that's where a lot of this friction is coming from, too, is just what you describe, is these people just want to lead us to their promised land, which is basically a lot of money in their pocket, a lot of power in their pockets, and, you know, to kill the opposition.
So how are the citizens going to raise their voices? Would they go to YouTube? Would they go to Twitter? Would they go to Facebook? Where would you like them to raise their voice and have it squashed?
No, you guys have experienced that, and so
yeah. Oh, yes, yes. We've experienced it now. If we put in the title of one of our things, election, or Trump, it is violates community, all community standards. They don't even bother to go into the corpus of the program.
No, they don't listen.
Just the word election is enough to get
you know what else is interesting here too, just on a side note, is they went back, YouTube went back and pulled a December 11th show out of, it's gone from the universe now. It's on Rumble, but it's gone from the universe. I don't even know what we would have said on December 11th, but we violated their community standards. So they're not just,
are they going to raise it in the mainstream press? No. Are they going to raise it on the networks? No. So I don't know. Maybe they can go out on the corner. Maybe. I mean, I don't think you quite realize the country you're in, and it ain't the country you grew up in.
For a piece of shameless self-promotion, this Friday or Saturday, go to American Greatness again. I have an article there that's called Neutering the Tech Tyrants, and it lays out a strategy for turning search and social media into a public good and taking the profit out of it and neutering the tyrants.
Great column.
So that Saturday, okay, American Greatness, go there. Just go there all the time look for John
Kine. Right, exactly. It's always worth reading it.
Let me ask you this too, because you do raise what is a real point. When you just talk to regular people, right? People who are not particularly active in politics or even paying that much attention in politics. People are many of them in a bad place. And they're worried about the country. They're worried about their family. They're worried about their kids. Maybe I'm asking you a question you don't know. Has there been a time like this in history in the country that you can think of where the people are worried, like you said, and the government is no longer representing us? It's just telling us, hey, screw you, we don't care. We're getting our piece of the pie. And what was the result of that? I mean, what, do you have any historical, I guess, examples? Uh-oh, they cut us off again.
I can still hear you.
Okay, we can hear you now too.
Okay. Yeah, it's, I don't think so. Like I said, over the government has
evolved. Yeah, that's it.
Devolved.
Like, yeah, just like it did in Soviet Union in 1919. They evolved. Yeah, evolved in 1949 in China.
Exactly.
Yeah, evolved.
Yeah, no, I agree. They're now our leaders. I look at our worthless governor here in Colorado. We had a referendum. The people spoke on oil and gas, and it was roundly, you know, new regulations were roundly defeated. If they weren't in power for over 2 weeks, and they passed legislation that contradicted everything the people
and what was so beautiful, because the Democrats are so smart and so evil, so they convince all the big Anadarko and all the other ones to pour all their money into defeating the referendum and little or no money into legislative races. So by the time it came, that went down. But the Democrats took control, and then they just shoved it back down them. I mean, what a 1-2 by those glorious, glorious Democrats.
No, I think, one, this is a longer term battle. I mean, it's not going to be solved overnight. I think almost all problems in this country and all solutions to this country lead to public K through 12 education. And that all
that's a good, we've got good hope then. We're all set there as they tell her the critical race theory and everything else. And they say, you know, ask my son, would you like to be neutered today? Yeah, we can count on them.
Well, as I don't know who said it, but you know, things work right up until the moment they don't work anymore.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, I think, once again, not the partisans, we'll never convince the partisans, but just the regular schmo out there that's trying to live their life. The fear level is getting going up and up and up. And like I said, one would hope that the worthless Republicans could fill that void. I think Andrew Breitbart one time giving the Republicans a grief said, if you can't sell liberty and freedom, you suck. And yeah. You know, I agree with that. I mean, but you know, we got to fight the good fight if we expect this country, and if this country heads south, the world heads south and becomes a much, much uglier place very quickly.
It does. Yes, it does.
Well, and I think, you know, you're right in that we need to. I think I don't think that this is a time to do nothing. I mean, the Democrats aren't doing nothing, and in fact, they're pushing an agenda far faster, I think, than even our worst fears, and
both
far
nationally
worse
and here in and Colorado, locally,
far worse than worse. We couldn't have even we could have imagined, but way worse than what we had at least. I don't want to say imagine isn't the right word, but fear
anticipated.
There you go. So we can't do nothing. But I also think you have a point in that as we do this, we need to make sure that we're actually representing the people, not leading the people, representing the people and saying, hey, we hear you. We know what's going on. You know, we need to reopen your business. This is not the time to put an extra tax on your business. This is not the time to say, oh, we have to have now a higher minimum wage. This is not the time to say, you know, your kid can't go back to school, but oh, by the way, we're going to use your tax dollars.
Keep on paying those wonderful teachers down who are all down in Puerto Rico, well, sunning on the beach.
I mean, if you're cross the border illegally and you're a kid, you're in school, right?
You're upset. You can infect the world there.
You know, we need to, I think you're absolutely right, John, in that we need to be aware and recognize where people are and let them know we actually are the party that cares about you and your family and your health and your kids' education and your future.
I agree 100%. And you know, I mean, bringing up President Trump, you know, Trump's Trump. He has his personality and whatnot. But, you know, he got historic levels of the black vote, historic levels of the Hispanic vote. Not everyone is this woke Twitter world. And even many on the woke Twitter world aren't there. A lot of that is an illusion.
Well, a lot of people like Andrew Cuomo, who called himself a woke, you know, found out he was on the opposite side of the woke.
Not quite as woke as he feels like.
Yeah. Just amazing.
Just
stuff,
amazing. Well, John, okay, so let me give you shameless self-promotion one more time. Where can people get your next column?
It'll be, I don't know the exact date, but Friday or Saturday at American Greatness. That's AM Greatness. They'll be printing it. And you can always go to my website, eicenterprises.org. And, you know, the country's sick, without a doubt. I think we need to point that out to people and, you know, point out the fact that if you're making these changes at this point in time, you clearly don't care about the country. You care about power and things like that. And, you know, other than rabid partisans, I think the average schmo can understand that pitch. You know, it's right. Not a complicated sell, and it's the truth.
Yeah.
How's that for it, going for it?
There you go. John, thank you for your time. Thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Take a look at we'll take a look at AM Greatness and look for you on Friday or Saturday.
Okay, thanks, Chuck and Julie. You guys take care.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Hey, a little bit of a technical news, because I've been getting some texts from people. I think that there was a little bit. In California, they're out of power again. Thank you, Governor Newsom. And so we've been having a little bit of trouble with some of the audio feeds. Just so you know, when the BBS folks do such a great job, they send me the whole show later, and then I can put it all out there. So you'll get a clean feed if there's portions that you missed, or if you were listening and you're like, what the heck is going on? We know, and we're doing our best to fix it. You know, this is from Sandra. We're all dead if we wait. We're all dead if we depend on the education system. That'll never work. We need to figure out how to fight. You know, and I think, Sandra and everybody, that's why we started with PEG, because grassroots people can make a difference if you just make enough noise, if you stick together, right? And if you say, hey, wait, we can do this, and you just can't get discouraged. Again, keep in mind, I think a lot of it is a psyops. I always want to say a psyops operation, but it's a psyops kind of thing where they're trying to tell us, no, things suck. We're in control. We can't possibly have a meeting in person. And don't let yourself be fooled by that. Don't let yourself get sucked into it, because they're deliberately trying to suck you into this discouraged attitude. And, you know, Trump is still forming his pact. You guys have got the vote for the in-person meeting. I mean, they're just, don't fall for it.
No, that's absolutely right. And we got to keep on fighting away. That's why things like the recall in Westminster for the water is so important, and the upcoming elections for the school boards. And there's been no greater time to defeat the teachers unions. And we've got to have candidates. People say, "Oh, we don't want to run as a team." You're kind of like, "Well, why don't you ammunition, you know, separately, or you'll hang." But we got to identify in there. Well, we don't want to be partisan. We better start being partisan. You better say these are the teacher union candidates.
Right.
Somebody's got to learn how to win an election.
And here's what, you know, and we were talking about this earlier. I'm both sort of alarmed and yet hopeful about, I guess, sort of the Democrat, I don't even want to call it overreach, just the Democrat just ramming through stuff that they know people don't like. I mean, it's been, what, 50 days now? No Joe Biden press conference. And they won't even say when. They're like, you know, what do you think by the end of the month? Well, you know,
yeah,
dollars to donuts that there won't be, you know, a press
conference.
Sometime
in 2022.
Right. No State of the Union. Not even talking about that
State
anymore.
State of the Union. What union? What
exactly.
Union,
so the Democrats know. And they're not afraid to completely trample the people. They're not afraid right now. And I suspect that's because they feel confident in their ability to control the elections, and not in a good way. On the other hand, though, I'm also confident in the American people, the people who just want to live their life, you know, raise their family, give their kids a good education, leave
and
the
what,
world.
What
a
has
bit.
Given you this sense of wonderful trust?
Well,
based on what?
The history of America.
Well,
you know,
history of America is very checkered. I mean, in case
well,
you haven't figured it.
Well, maybe the history of Americans. We all need to go watch our own inner Star Trek shows.
Yes,
where Captain Kirk gives us. But I mean, for real, though, I mean, I think that the average person, we all care about many of the same things. You've got a very partisan, radical, progressive Democrat leadership right now, the activists and their party.
Well, I think
who
the
are
party reflects it.
Stuff.
In Nevada, it was interesting. The socialists won all the party chairs, all the party seats, and the regular workers for the Democratic Party all resigned. So if you think you have these nice Democrats who are being led by these vicious lefties, no, it's the whole party is lefty. And we've, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this, but
I know I'm trying to be optimistic.
Ultimately, Jack, we gotta say, look, you know, Democrats, we don't want to live with you. We don't be part of you. We don't want your crookedness, your degeneracy, your foulness, your laziness, and we'll have, I don't care what we have, you know, whatever we have, whatever part of the country we have, we'll make it blossom. Just like Israel made the whole Sinai and everything else blossom. And they will take, if you can take California and tell it down the toilet, they will take everything down the toilet. So how do we get away from Democrats? How do you kind of go, no? You know, you can't move to us. You can't be near us. You can't suck off us. You know, I was trying to look at parallels where one group of people said, we just don't even want to be around you. And then the one I could think of is Czechoslovakia. The Czechs were the hardworking Germanic guys who are always working hard and go to school. And the Slovaks were always kind of the more Slavic group going, we need an extra holiday. We need more of this. And eventually the Czechs finally said, wrongo, no more Czechoslovakia. You get to be lazy, worthless, and do nothing over in Slovakia, and we'll be the Czech Republic. And I think that's what we got to do. We got to say, we don't want you around anymore. Get away from us. Get away from our children. Get from our schools. Get away from everything. You're unfit to live with. But that's just my
opinion. You're been 888-627-6008.
Whole movement there.
Yeah, you're not. 888-627-6008. What do you think? If you're on Zoom, feel free to unmute yourself and turn your camera on and weigh in. You know, I don't know about secession. I don't
call it secession. Just everybody go their own way.
But how do you do that? Oh, Mark's waving at us. Okay,
all right, Mark.
Go ahead. Way on in, Mark. I've been reading you on the chat portion of the Zoom. Well, unmute your mic. There you go.
Okay, I think I got it. Sorry, Julie.
No, you do.
Chuck, what I want to know is I got my second Wuhan shot.
Oh, good.
Okay, so now, yeah, I know. I don't think you guys are getting it, but I got it. And in 7 days, I can't figure out why I should wear a mask for any reason on the face.
Well, I can tell you. Here's the thinking. Julie can confirm this. You see, if you didn't have your mask in, you would walk into Safeway and inhale the virus, and while it wouldn't affect you, you'd breathe it out again, and then it would cause massive super spreader event at Safeway. That's literally what they say.
That's not true, though. I mean, you're absolutely right. Even the CDC, says, well, if you've been vaccinated and the other person's been vaccinated, so here's my
opinion. You're indoors and you're social distancing. And you're total snowflakes. You can talk to each other.
Now, Ben is saying, Mark, you have to wear two masks.
Two? What's one? Two.
Now that you've had the vaccine,
I know. Now they want me to wear two. Guess what, folks? At some point, we're going to walk around and say, today's the last day I'm ever wearing a mask, and it's over.
Well, let us know when that day is.
People are mad. When I talk to the people around where I live, I say, what are you going to do when you get your second shot, and they go, well, I get it. And they can tell you the date they're getting it, or they say, well, I had it, and I'm 3 days from now, I'll be all good. I'm like, what are you going to do next? One couple's going on vacation. They don't care what happens. They're hitting the road. I think it's April 2nd is they're supposed to clear, and they're going to travel to the United States. They normally go on trips two or three times a year. Four times a year, they haven't done anything. They're hitting the road and they're going.
Good for them.
And I think there's some point where they're going to be out of luck. The other thing is, a friend of mine's wife posted on Facebook over the weekend that she'd helped. She was so proud of herself because she'd helped vaccinate 5,000 people. And I said, you know, the 5,000 people, how many of them were older people? How many of them were 65 or older? Because I can't believe how many people are trying to get shots that can't get them.
Well, that tells you something,
yeah,
doesn't it?
What happened was
I asked them how many of those people were. Yeah, it tells me a lot. How many of those people were that age? They were. She said, well, 4,000 of them at least were part of the teachers union.
Oh, hooray.
So they had a special event to,
right.
How to inoculate
she
them.
So proud. That she was able to be a minion and a serf to teacher
unions.
Well,
and here's the thing, too, that a lot of people that think about is...
Polis is supporting the teachers union because they're so damn powerful.
Right.
Exactly.
He wants to get reelected. Yeah. And what happens? RTD did the same thing where they evacuated 5,000 people. They moved people around in buses. And they weren't any of the people that they said.
Right.
He has gone out of his way to make sure that the rules weren't abided by him as to who gets them. And it's my understanding that there's an awful lot of people that got their first shot, but they can't get their second shot. Because if you go through certain places and get your first shot, they don't guarantee the second shot.
Well,
what happens is if you don't get inoculated, if you get your second shot too early, that creates problems. And if you get your second shot too long, it's like you didn't get it. So they've created an absolute nightmare, and they're picking out and choosing their favorite people.
Well, of course they are. Well, I got a notification.
Republicans have to stand up, not just Republicans. I'm not. I'm an independent. Everybody's got to stand up and say, wait a minute.
Well, let me
tell you. This is wrong.
I because I own a newspaper, I got a personal thing from the governor's office saying I was a frontline journalist and I could come in front of everybody, not maybe the teachers, but everybody else and get my two shots right away, you know, everything else. And I said, thanks, but no thanks. I'll risk no risk about a half-ass flu that has a 0.000.
Well, and I think we might have had it.
Yeah, we had it.
So we should be immune too, just immune like we had a vaccine.
Well, what are you going to do in 6 months?
Well, you don't
want
to get it if you had it because my neighbor
what are you
had
do
it.
In six?
He's a fireman, and he got sicker than a dog because he told me what happens is if you actually have it and you get the shot, your body overreacts.
Oh, there you go.
So when he got the two shots, he was down for a week for each of them.
Yeah, probably worse than the actual COVID.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you plan to do 6 months from now? Because that's all the good the vaccine lasts for. So are you going to?
They don't know.
Well, that's what they estimated anyway.
That's what Bill Gates is telling us.
Well, okay, Bill Gates. You can't contradict Bill Gates. In 6 months, are you going to?
Well, when I live in Denver, so
yeah.
Denver's a huge problem because.
That's the first problem.
I mean, it's insane. But when I leave Denver and I go other places, I go to the mountains and I go other places, nobody's abiding by anything that's going on.
No, you know what?
And I think it's interesting that Polis is only watching the people that are close to him. Because if you go around the state, it's wide open.
And you know, and I want to say this too, and we only got about a minute left, so I have to. I was at two businesses in Denver last week, in Denver, right? And walked in, nobody was wearing a mask. Nobody, right. And nobody blinked. Nobody said anything. Nobody was wearing a mask. And we all lived. So, hey, Mark, listen, we got to go.
Have a good day.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for calling. Thank you to Peg and Chuck for your good work. We'll keep you posted.
Thank you for letting me take the lead with Peg. I appreciate that.
Hey, check out chuckandjulie.com. You can catch the show there. Would love to have you subscribe to our newsletter. Go ahead and like us and subscribe to us on YouTube. But chuckandjulie.com will get you everywhere you need. Friday, we've got a fired up Patrick Neville. He's going to
Spill the beans.
So we'll see you, everybody.
Take care.
On Party Friday.